time in association with TA Property, helping churches with planning and appeals. Good morning and welcome if you just joined us. John Pantry with you through till 10:30 this morning, and we've got lots to come. We'll be pausing for prayer after the news at 10. Jill Briscoe then recommends wrestling with God in today's edition of Telling the Truth after the news at 10. But I'm delighted to say we've got a guest in the studio. He is worship leader Colin Owen. Born in Liverpool, Colin played in several successful UK bands, toured with ELO, remember them, Electric Light Orchestra. He and his wife Carol came to faith when Colin was 40. He doesn't even look 40 now. And together they became the main worship leaders for Kingdom Faith Ministries with Colin Urquhart. But there's a lot more to tell to this story. Colin is now producing albums himself. He's got a brand new one out called I Saw the Mighty City. First of all, welcome, Colin.
Thank you, John. Good morning to you.
Lovely to see you again, because we worked together on a number of projects. We're both struggling to remember what they were. In the old days of producing albums, that we were both very involved in that.
Yes, in the days when tape recorders, and we used to edit with razor blades. Remember that? Oh, the good old days.
The good old days. So many long hours in the studio we worked together. Well, tell me actually, first of all, before we play a track from the album, how was it you became a Christian? Was it anything to do with the witness of the Christian people? Because when I first met you, you were working as a recording engineer and sort of stroke producer. At a studio somewhere, I can't even remember exactly where it was.
Yes, it was the Old Smithy.
Near
Worcester.
Near Worcester, that's right.
And we used to call you guys the God Squad.
Oh, right.
Yes, I was actually born again when I was 12.
Is that right?
And at that time in Liverpool, remember, I'm from Liverpool, at that time the Beatles were around, and so come the age of 13, I was baptised in water and promptly went off to play Beatles songs and, you know, playing all that kind of stuff in those days. So I kind of backslid.
Right.
And as I say now, I was a professional backslider because I backslid for 27 years. Mm-hmm. Hence, when I was 40, God came and got hold of me in no uncertain terms. And I was left with no choice other than to come back to Jesus. And
Do you want to give us a few hints as to how that happened? I mean, how did God come back into your life? Because I've heard this kind of story on a number of occasions.
Carol brought a book home from church called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey.
Oh yeah,
and
I remember that.
Started reading sections of it to me, and it just seemed to fit. The prophetic thing seemed to fit exactly with what was happening.
Yeah.
And somehow that spoke to me. And then one night I had the most awful dream. Can't remember what it was, but I was terrified. Mm-hmm. I was really, really terrified. Cold sweat, a lot, you know. And, you know, this sounds really spiritual, but I just knew at that time, if Jesus came back at that time, I was lost. Mm-hmm. And it was a sense of being lost which frightened me. Mm-hmm. And all as I did, I woke up in a cold sweat, shaking. All as I did was said, "Welcome back, Lord." And that was it. This peace came over me. It was like warm, sticky goo. Just poured all over me. I stopped shaking, I stopped shivering, and I had this incredible sense of peace.
And that welcome back, you were very clear that you had known deep down that you were away from God, that you belonged to God, and that you talked to God.
The book had brought it all out. Mm. Yes.
And funnily enough, I mean, that's viewed as quite an odd book now, because although some parts of it are true, other parts of it seem, looking back way over the top.
I can't remember a word of that book. But God used it to get back to me, so lesson for that.
Fantastic. Okay. So that's how you came to faith. You then, because you've been involved and you were, I remember, a very skillful engineer and producer, and you were working on lots of Christian albums. Did you continue to do that for a time, or when did you get into the worship leading bit?
Well, we worked on the Christian albums for a period of about 10 years. And funny enough, I mean, walking into the studio first thing in the morning and finding the band in the studio praying for me actually didn't affect me at all.
Right.
But I later realized, of course, that, I mean, the prayers of those guys were a part of my salvation, you know. A part of my return to Christ rests with the prayers of the guys, the faithful prayers of the guys in the studio, the bands,
producers. Okay, so you say you came into the studio and occasionally you would kind of be embarrassed to hear them saying, "And bless Colin now."
Finger was just poised to go on the talkback button and say, "Hi guys, good morning." Yeah. And you just say, "Lord, bless the engineer."
Right.
Coming over the talkback system.
Yeah.
And you stop, you know.
Yeah.
And yes, those prayers played their part of my salvation. That's true.
I mean, having myself come back in a sort of a similar way, because it was when I was asked to produce Light Up the Fire for Parchment that I started getting involved with, do you remember this?
Oh, yes.
with Christians that brought me back to God. And it's a lesson for all of us to include unbelievers in our work and in our situations.
Absolutely.
And in all sorts, and not treat them as outsiders, but welcome them.
Yeah. I mean, from the studio point of view, because I was a Christian, born into a Christian family, so I was okay with prayer and the word Jesus, you know, and I was fine with that. That was a plus point for the studio, because, right. I mean, I could go in with the God Squad and not be embarrassed and have no problem with it.
Absolutely terrific. So you went on to begin to lead worship in your local church, and then...
Actually, we didn't start really leading worship until we met up with Colin Urquhart.
Oh, right.
We were going out singing with backing tapes.
Yeah, I remember some of the albums, actually.
So we went out singing with backing tapes. We used to go on the street and sing, and we used to go to churches and sort of be the musical point. You know, we'd sing and give testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And that was within the first year of really being back with God, you know, really being born again. And we met Colin Urquhart several months after that. So.
Right.
When we joined him, we'd really been back with God about 18 months.
Right.
And the first thing we did for Colin Urquhart was sing at Faith Camp.
Okay.
With our backing tapes.
Yeah.
With 5,000 people.
My goodness.
I tell you, I was a professional shaker that night.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, God spoke through me, and I was able to speak to people. I'm being a Liverpudlian, I'm quite cheeky. And for some reason, that cheek works.
Right.
I was able to speak to those people and get them to laugh.
Mm.
If you want a funny story, the very first time I sang in public with Carol, we were in a little village hall with people from sort of 50 up to 90, which is not good when you've got backing tapes, which are rocky, you know. And the first thing I said to them was, this is a Cliff Richard song we're going to sing. If you can't clap your hands, will you rattle your dentures?
Sort of a take on the Beatles, rattle your jewelry.
I said that, and they all fell about laughing, and God spoke to me instantly and said, see, you can do it.
Right.
And from that one thing, I took great assurance. I was very shy in those days. I took assurance from that, and I knew from that point on, well, if God can do that through me, he can do anything.
And then you and Carol worked with Colin Urquhart for some years.
Yes,
and then we
went to the Bible College for one term as students, and then they took us on as team members, and we were there for 5 years.
Right.
2 months after being taken on, we were appointed as sort of directors of music. It sounds very posh. Someone had to do the job. And that's when we really started to lead worship.
Okay.
I mean, Colin Urquhart really told us what worship was and pointed us and gave us focus.
Right.
And the whole thing of proclamation of praise and worship, and he gave us guidance. And that's when we really started to lead worship. That's actually when I started to play piano, funny enough.
Is that right?
Yes, they had this big old black Bechstein piano, which was terrible to play. And I was playing simple chords with one hand and octaves in the bass with the other, and chung, 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 you know, and almost like doing a doggy paddle. And then one day I got so fed up with that, I said, come on, Lord, give me something. And I just started to open up and play, and it just came within
Fantastic.
3 months. I was
a natural musician.
Yeah, it just came out. Yeah, I've been a musician since I was 8 years old. Yeah.
Right, but not necessarily on piano.
No, not on piano. No, I did 2 years piano lessons starting when I was 10.
Mm.
Then took up the guitar to play Shadows and Beatles. Then moved to a Hammond organ.
All right.
And then played bass. So I've played a few things along the way.
Been around a bit.
Yeah.
Let's hear a track from the album. This is the brand new album. It's a double album, actually. You can tell us a bit more about it. But it's called I Saw the Mighty City. This is the opening track, You Are Glorious.
Jesus has all power and all authority. No weapon formed against us will prevail. Your mighty hand is raised. You won the victory. Almighty God, your word will majestic Holy One, you are glorious, God's precious Holy Son, given as a sacrifice to pay the price for me. Perfect, spotless Lamb of God, to blood has set me free. You are the living Lord, an everlasting God. Great is your name in all the earth. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. You have all power and authority. You are glorious, majestic, holy. Spotless Lamb of God, your blood has set me free. Set me free. You are glorious, majestic, holy one. You are glorious, God's precious, holy Son.
To Colin Owen, and you are glorious. To God be the glory, it says at the top of the album, but the album's actually called I Saw the Mighty City. What's the story behind this, Colin? A lot of work behind all this.
There's a lot of work behind it. I was reading Revelation for a period of time, you know, and
right.
I don't know, for some reason, a scripture just jumped out the page, as it does sometimes, and of course it was the great city coming down out of the sky, you know, with the foundations and, you know, the transparent gold, and it just impacted on me, and I just had the title, you know, I Saw the Mighty City.
Right.
Now, the album came about because I was in a place of absolute doldrums. I was going nowhere, doing nothing. I felt like I was banging my head on a wall. So much so that I called my pastor and said, please come and pray. Something's wrong here, you know. And he came sort of on a Thursday, and he was due to come in at sort of 12 o'clock. And a dear friend from church emailed me a picture that she had, a word picture, you know, about me being in my car, in the garage, going nowhere. And it just was so right,
because
was exactly me. And the word was, well, you know, perhaps you need to back up before you can go forward. And I knew exactly what that meant. So when my pastor came in, I really recommitted back into the church, and we prayed about it, and I resubmitted myself under his authority. I was great. The next day, the Friday, I just went into the music room, turned the gear on, and started the album.
Right.
And it took 2 months to do from absolute start to absolute finish.
Wow.
So that was God.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's a huge amount of work.
Yes, 20 songs.
We'll hear more in a minute. We've missed out a big chunk of a very painful period in your life, though, as well, because following the situation where you and Carol were leading worship with Colin Urquhart, quite suddenly Carol left you.
This is true, yes. After we left Kingdom Faith Ministries, we were itinerant. And internationally itinerants as well, speaking and stuff. Yes, I know, Liverpool, speaking in Spain, and they get all my jokes. Don't ask me how, God is good. But yes, for several years, and we had a pinnacle. We led worship at a Don Double camp in Malvern, a Good News Crusade camp in Malvern.
Yeah.
And after that, we got a double album, a live album, and it's called To Know You More, Lord. And it was a peak.
Right.
It was a spiritual peak.
Right.
It's difficult to describe, but God was there in the meeting before the camp started, when we had the pre-camp meeting. God turned up in the worship, and the times of worship were awesome. Mm. And Carol was doing things in the middle of songs. She was picking up her Bible, turning to a scripture, and singing the scripture just out loud, and the congregation were answering the scripture.
Wow.
The Spirit of God there was tangible. It was a peak. And as Don Double said later when he called, he phoned me up after Carol had left as a minister and said, you know, son, sometimes when you hit a peak like this, you know, Satan comes in with an attack. And I believe fully that Carol was deceived in some way that I don't fully understand and don't know, but she was deceived into seeing that this other man was somehow better than her husband. And she fell from grace and she left and went off with this other man. Mm-hmm. And she divorced me 3 years later, I think.
And you made efforts of reconciliation.
Absolutely. Believe me, I had the world and its mate were praying. Believe me, all around the world, people who knew Colin and Carol were praying and praying and praying. But, you know, God honors our own individual free will. Mm. And Carol had chosen to make this her path, and she took it regardless of everything. And praise God, it's all forgiven. God has really led me on a path of forgiveness.
I was going to say, you're remarkably lacking in any sort of bitterness or anger at God.
Listeners, when the Bible says forgive, please obey that, because it releases you from everything. Mm. There is no hurt in me, there is no pain in me, there's no anger in me.
Yeah.
Carol now lives 50 yards from me. She's remarried and she has a son, and I'm godfather to her son.
Right.
And we are the best of friends. In fact, technically, I suppose we're like brother and sister now. There is no pain, there is no hurt. So I recommend forgiveness with all my heart to everyone listening to the sound of my voice right now. Forgive them and set yourself free. Believe me, it works.
Yeah. It must have been, though, an experience which produced depths in you you didn't know you had. Yeah. You had to explore those depths. You were forced to.
Absolutely. There was a six-month period of pain beyond belief for me. Yeah. Times of weeping, uncontrollable, hurt, anger, pain.
And
of
course, must have been asking God why.
Well, this might sound wrong, but God has been so faithful to me. I have never had to ask him why.
Right.
I've never had to say why, God? Because he's been so good to me.
Yeah.
His relationship with me, from his point of view to me, has been so faithful throughout that I've never had to say why. It was enough to know that God was there. And again, this might sound wrong, but when you're in an intense situation like that, you know, some people will run away from God. But me, I looked inside and I found Jesus Christ. He was there.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's okay, son, I'm here. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And that has held me together.
I do understand to an extent a bit of that. Having, you know, we've all had situations in life which have taken us to our knees, taken us to the depths.
Yes.
Maybe not as difficult as what you had to cope with. But there is no doubt that God draws close to the broken heart.
Absolutely.
And you do feel closer to God somehow than ever before.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, there was nowhere else for me to turn to. I had no real friends, no family close. There was nowhere else for me to turn to. I was totally on my own.
Yeah.
But God was there, faithful. Faithful as ever, God was there. And he just led me through.
Did that lead to songs as well that express something that would then touch
you? Yeah, well, you know, being a musician and a songwriter, you know, I said, Lord, at least I'm going to get some good songs out of this. But two songs did come very early on. One was Seeing Me Through, that's an obvious one, and the other one was Show Mercy, which is another obvious one. And then there was a lull of no songwriting, and then there was a, you know, after this meeting with my pastor and the album was birthed, songs came right on the spur of the moment. You know, you may have had this, but a phrase drops into your mind and you're doing something unrelated to songwriting or music, and suddenly the phrase comes in, with my hand on my heart, I proclaim. You think, is that a song?
Mm.
But within 5 minutes, I had all the lyrics.
Yes.
God just dropped a song into my spirit. Boom, done. Uh-huh. And that happened several times.
And you're able to share these and then share the ministry, share the depths of where God has taken you with others.
I can speak to people about forgiveness now with a certain amount of authority.
Yeah, you do.
And I have done in several times. I have spoken in several churches about forgiveness. And hopefully I can speak with compassion.
What is the future, Colin? Where's God taking you over the next few years?
Oh, dear Lord, if only I knew that.
Right.
God has given me a vision for Malvern. I live in Malvern in the Midlands, and God has given me a vision.
Beautiful part of the world.
Oh, beautiful, with the hills and the water and the walks. God has given me a vision to see Malvern as a place of worship, a place where people will actually come to join in with the people there who are worshiping God. I want to see Malvern as a place known as a place of worship of God, because right now it's known as number three on the New Age list with various things that are there. There's occultic things there. But never mind, that's just wind. But I want to see Malvern on the map known as a place of worship where people will just come to join in. My real heart is to see God worshipped.
Right.
That's it. For me, when people worship God, for me, that I've hit it then.
Do you worship in Malvern itself?
Actually, I worship in St. Paul's Church in Worcester,
okay.
Which is my home church.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is the one I had to recommit to.
Right.
With Pastor. I haven't found a church in Malvern, so I guess God's not saying that to me right now.
Right, okay. But some exciting things. Mm. We're just about out of time, Colin, but we're going to play a little bit of that track, Show Mercy. This is something that came out of those deaths.
Yes.
There'll be a lot of people listening for you this morning that would like to pray, I'm sure. What would you want their prayers to be?
I would want people, brothers and sisters everywhere, Christian brothers and sisters everywhere, to show compassion for those who have fallen from grace, which, let's face it, at times involves all of us. Have mercy on those who have made a mistake. Have mercy on those who have been deceived. Like my Carol was deceived. So have mercy. They don't need retribution. They don't need judgment. They need our compassion. So please have compassion on each other.
Colin, thank you very much indeed. Let's have a listen to that track.
To the one who has fallen, to the one who's gone astray, to the one who's lost and hurting, help them find the way. In his sight they're just as precious as they were on the day when he claimed them for his own and took the guilt away. Show mercy, show mercy, show mercy to them all. Show mercy, show mercy, as God has done for you, do for them. To the sister who has fallen, like a flower that's bowed its head, to the brother trapped in darkness, let your light be spread. For they are God's precious children, as they were on the day when he claimed them for his own and took the guilt away.